To live apart from grace is to miss God's major activity in life.
Dr. Tony Evans explains why grace is so amazing.
Grace assumes your inability to fix whatever is wrong and your need for God to address it if it is to be addressed at all.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. When you're God, there's no reason that you have to forgive anybody for anything. But our God freely offers us forgiveness, even though it cost Him dearly, even though we don't deserve it. Let's join Dr. Evans as he explains why.
Now, if you've been with us over the last year, you've heard this word used a lot. You can't use it enough because it is at the heart of the Christian faith. It is what makes Christianity different. It is predicated on the initiative of God toward man, not on the initiative of man toward God. Let me first say a word about the concept of grace. It may be defined as the inexhaustible supply of God's goodness, whereby He does for us what we could never do for ourselves. It has been defined as God's unmerited favor. It has to do with the work of God whereby He breaks into history to solve a problem that we ourselves cannot solve. Grace assumes your inability to fix whatever is wrong and your need for God to address it if it is to be addressed at all. To live apart from grace is to miss God's major activity in life. Either to try to get to heaven apart from grace, it's impossible. To try to live the Christian life apart from grace, it's impossible. Because at the heart of our great salvation is the great doctrine of what God wants to give away that you could never earn yourself. And isn't it foolish to try to earn something that somebody wants to give you? Grace is concerned with what God wants to give you and what He has gone through to make such a gift possible. Ephesians chapter 1, a chapter that highlights many aspects of the grace of God, says this in verse 6. He begins, well, talking about our salvation, and he says in verse 5, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. The Beloved is Christ. In other words, God in Christ has freely bestowed on mankind, particularly men who've come to Christ, this thing called grace, this abundant supply of goodness. Look at what 1 Timothy says about this grand word. Paul, writing to his son in the ministry, says, "And the grace of our Lord was more abundant with the faith and love which is found in Christ Jesus." Remember, I define grace as God's inexhaustible supply. Paul calls it more abundant. Grace comes in heaps. Grace just overshadows you. In order to appreciate grace, however, you must understand its backdrop. And of course, you know what the backdrop is. Ephesians 2 tells us, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them too, you all formerly lived in the lust of your flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." The need for grace is due to the problem of sin. Sin is no small problem. It's a big problem. The reason that sin is a big problem is because of who we have sinned against. God is a perfect being. Therefore, a little sin on earth is open scandal in heaven. You cannot appreciate grace unless you understand the state. And the state is that men are separated from God. Romans chapter 3, he says, what then, verse 9? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. He spent the first three chapters basically saying that the whole world is guilty before God. A Jew couldn't say, because I'm a Jew, I'm better than a Greek. A Greek couldn't say, because I'm a Greek, I'm better than a Jew. A black can't say, I'm better than a white. A white can't say, I'm better than a black, a Hispanic than an Asian than a Hispanic, because when it comes before holy God, he says, you all messed up. Jews and Greeks are all under sin. Verse 10, how bad is the problem? There is none righteous, not even you. Doesn't say that, but you get the point. Or me, not one. Not one. And then the famous verse that we are very aware of, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. And how can everybody be put in this category? Simple. And have fallen short of the what? Glory of God. You see, God is measuring you against himself. So the best person you know is still in trouble with God. The best person you know is still unacceptable to God. Because Jews and Greeks, there is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Look at Romans 11, verse 32. For God has shut up all men in disobedience that he might show mercy to all. That's a powerful statement. God has put everybody in the same category, sinner. Now, that's good news. That's some news you ought to praise God for. God has placed the whole human race in this one canister called sin. Because only folk in the canister called sin are eligible for salvation. That's why you can't get a man saved until they recognize they're in this pit called sin. Because if you don't know you're in it, you don't know you need to get out of it. You with me? If you don't know about the problem, then you don't look for the solution. Most people you know will agree that they sin. That's not the problem. What most people won't agree is that they're shut up in sin, as verse 32 says. God has shut up all men in disobedience, that they are locked in their sin and they cannot get themselves out. There is no way to get out except by grace. God must reach in and pull you out. You cannot lift yourself out. Ephesians chapter 2 again, verse 4. One of the great verses of grace in the New Testament. Paul says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved. He says two things combined together to make the provision of grace possible. God's grace, he says in verse 4, is the combination of his love married to his mercy. Some people confuse the word grace and mercy. Grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. Mercy is God not giving you what you do deserve. And so God removes the misery of sin, mercy, when he deals with the problem of sin, grace. Love mixed up with mercy combined together, which freed God up to demonstrate the greatness of his grace. And how great is it? Look at verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show you the surpassing riches of his grace. How big is this supply? It is so big that it will take ages to unveil it. Eons, or our word for it is eternity. That's how long it will take you to see all that God has in store for you. Now, you don't get it all now. I know we want it all now, but we don't get it all now. What we get now is a down payment. The down payment is when God breaks through out of nowhere and gives you what you don't deserve. And you say, I want some more of that. So what did God do in regards to our great salvation to address this problem? After locking us all in so that he could have mercy on all, what did he do? He provided his son, you know the story, the Lord Jesus Christ, as payment for the problem of sin. He paid the price for sin so that he would be free to expend his grace.
So how do we earn grace? Well, the point is we can't. And when Dr. Evans continues our message in a moment, he'll talk about what happens when we try. Stay with us.
The Bible, from beginning to end, passage by passage, thoroughly explained in plain language by one of America's top theologians. That's what you get in the brand new Tony Evans Commentary. It's loaded with a lifetime of insights and illustrations that'll help you dig up every nugget of spiritual truth and put those new understandings to work. Whether you're a brand new believer or an experienced Bible teacher, you'll want to have this powerful new resource close by every time you study God's Word. The Tony Evans Commentary, available now at TonyEvans.org.
Tony spent an entire decade, from concept to completion, studying, preaching through, and writing thousands of handwritten notes to create this historic full Bible commentary. Contact us to request your copy today. And when you do, don't miss your chance to take advantage of our current special offer, all 12 CDs in Tony's current teaching series, Our Great Salvation. This two-volume collection will teach you about the incredible significance of some theological terms you may have heard but didn't understand. You'll come away with a new awareness of why God's grace is so amazing. Along with it, you'll get Tony's God's Got It devotional journal, full of inspirational articles, alongside space where you can keep track of prayer requests, favorite verses, meaningful experiences, and more. Both of these great resources are yours as our way of saying thanks for your contribution toward Tony's work on the radio, on TV, in books, with churches, pastors, and their families around the world. So visit TonyEvans.org today to make those arrangements, because this offer ends in just a few more days. Again, that's TonyEvans.org, or reach out to our Resource Center for some in-person help at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. And now here's Tony once again with more of today's lesson.
In the Bible, grace is a free gift. Over and over again, it is called free. In Romans chapter 11, a great important verse, when you have people who want to mix grace and works. Verse 6 is an important verse. For if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. It's a very important verse. You can't have it both ways, he says. You can't have it by grace and by works. That's like having it by oil and by water. The two cannot be made to mix. To mix grace and works is to change the nature of grace. It cannot be done. To speak of a gift as costing is to speak of a circle that's square. Can you draw me a square circle? The two are impossible because they're two totally different things. You can have a square and a circle, but you cannot have a squared circle. When it comes to living the Christian life, it takes grace and works. When you understand grace, and when you appreciate grace, and when you're thankful for grace, then you respond to grace by works. Works is your response to grace, not your replacement of grace, or not your mixing of grace. That's why in verse 10, he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God hath prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So the death of Christ freed God up to act in grace. And the reason why I could free God up to act in grace is because it dealt with the problem that was the chasm. Christ became the bridge that now sinners could cross over to God, because God built the bridge to cross over to them. And that bridge is Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." His last words to you and to me in his second epistle is grow in grace. What does he mean? He means grow in your understanding of grace. Because the better you understand grace, the better you will live the Christian life. And to grow in your understanding of grace is to grow in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. For grace is not only a concept, grace is a person. St. John chapter 1 says, "And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth." So to know grace is not only to read the Bible and understand the doctrine of God's supply, but it is to relate to a person. Or to put it another way, the better you know Christ, the better you'll experience grace. The closer you are to Christ, the closer you will be to experiencing his grace. Because grace supplies, grace provides. About a year ago, my family and I were in a restaurant and we were eating after church, I believe it was one Sunday. We finished dining and it was time to leave. Well, actually, it wasn't time to leave because I hadn't had dessert yet. But I asked him for the check. The gentleman came over and said, "Oh, the gentleman over there has taken care of your meal. He's taken care of the meal for you and your family." And so I was very grateful. I nodded to him. "Thank you. Thank you." Then I said to him, "Well, we haven't ordered dessert yet." "You're bringing me the dinner menu, but we haven't ordered dessert yet." But he said, "Oh, he already told me whatever you want for dessert, add it on to the ticket and charge it to him." So we got dinner, we got dessert. It's time to leave. Took out my wallet to put the tip down. He said, "No." He said, "Add 15% to wherever you ordered for dinner and for dessert, and he'll cover that too." Now, I went into the restaurant thinking I had to pay it all. He paid for my dinner, but then he did stuff I didn't know he had included. Only as I went along did I discover more was to this than I originally knew. The more I became acquainted with grace, you know, the more I appreciated him. His goodness was continuing to flow. How do we respond to grace? In closing, Romans 12, 1 and 2, which you know well, says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you approve what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, offer yourself to God. Make these hands God's hands, these feet God's feet, these lips God's lips, these ears God's ears, this mind God's mind. Because God will withhold grace. He doesn't mind giving it, but he doesn't want it abused. So we have a great salvation because it's the salvation that was by grace. God initiated it. But he not only initiated the salvation that takes us to heaven, he initiates the empowerment, the blessing, the encouragement, the strength that takes us through earth. And he says, when you're running low, come to the throne and get more grace.
If you're ready to come to the throne and commit your life to the Lord, here's Dr. Evans once again to tell you how.
If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do that right now. Simply go to him and acknowledge that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and that you're transferring your trust to him alone because of his death on the cross and resurrection from the dead. In fact, I'm going to say a little prayer, and you can repeat it after me. You just have to mean it for yourself. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner and that I can't save myself. I believe Jesus Christ, your Son, died on the cross in my place for my sin, and I now am trusting him alone to forgive me and to give me the gift of eternal life that he promised to give to anyone who came to him for it. Thank you for saving me, and help me from this day forward to live a life pleasing to you. Congratulations. Welcome to the family.
And if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, we invite you to visit our website, tonyevans.org, and click where it says Jesus. You'll find free resources to help you start your new life. Now, whether you're a new believer or a not-so-new believer who wants to grow, don't forget to request Tony's current series, Our Great Salvation. Remember, when you make a donation to help us keep this program coming your way, we'll send it to you as our thank you gift, along with the God's Got It devotional journal I told you about earlier. But this offer ends Thursday, so don't put it off. Call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222 to make the arrangements any time of the day or night. That's 1-800-800-3222. Or visit tonyevans.org, the place to go to connect with all of our resources, like the new Tony Evans Commentary I told you about and the Tony Evans Study Bible, due to be released at the end of the month. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Even though salvation isn't a matter of what we do, Dr. Evans says what we do does matter. And tomorrow, he'll introduce us to a biblical word that'll help us understand why. But right now, he's here to wrap up today's program with this story.
The United Parcel Service some years ago went on strike, and those who went on strike lost their wages. A number of people crossed the picket line. They, of course, went to work, and they got paid. But the strikers, the union, ultimately won. And guess what? Those who did not strike got the same benefit as those who did without paying any penalty. They crossed the picket lines, had no sacrifice, lost no money, but they got the benefit because of those who went on strike. Jesus Christ went on strike for you and me. He sacrificed while we crossed the picket line. While we kept doing our thing, serving our own interests, pleasing ourselves, he went on strike. And at great cost to his life, he gave us grace. Guess what? So we can get the benefits. Because we've been seated with him in heavenly places. We rise with him. As goes Christ, so goes us. The challenge of our great salvation is we're saved by grace, so get acquainted with the grace that saved you. Because that grace that saves you keeps you going.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.